Remember, in Kenya, you're not allowed to hold gold without a license, physical gold. And so this just gives you an easy way to access gold.
Do you still look at commodities, and more so gold and silver, as still something viable as an investment option?
The comment here is that the ship has sailed.
Yeah.
Man, I can tell you, I've been hearing that story since 2019.
Is there a best way to invest in gold? Again, noting that, yes, you're not buying the physical gold itself to be delivered in your house and keeping a safe.
I'd definitely say that for anybody who's looking for direct exposure into gold, this is the safest way in Kenya right now for you to get access. The advantage of the ETF is that you're guaranteed liquidity.
Hello, welcome to another episode of Make Money the Podcast, the show where we not only tell you what's happening to your money, but also showing you what's happening to your money and what could happen. And of course, this is always guided by conversations with the experts of money. And to introduce today's topic, of course, you might have seen gold or silver prices and the rise we saw throughout 2025, prices going higher on geopolitical tensions around the world, where we always see investors moving to what is classified as safe haven assets, moving away from riskier assets. That's the picture we saw throughout 2025 and has begun in 2026 with what's happening with the US, Israel, and Iran conflict, pushing interest further for the same commodities. And that is, of course, reflected on the prices we saw throughout 2025. Silver crossed $100 per ounce. And at the same time, we saw gold also rising well above $5,000 an ounce. Can do the local conversions to get a sense of the same in Kenya shillings. But now to introduce my guest to speak on commodities and the demand for the same locally, I'm happy to have Tito Namu. He's a senior equities trader at Absa Securities Limited. And Mr. Namu, we are happy to have you on the podcast.
Thank you, Kefa. I'm happy to be here.
And for the first time, we are conversing about commodities. And we begin with the demand. I mean, we've seen what's the global picture. We'd like to have a sense of what's the local picture. People are taking note of what's happening to those commodity prices. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it happens that people take note as prices go higher.
Definitely. We have seen a massive spike in local demand from both retailers and in institutional investors. I think this began around the 2022 period during the COVID pandemic. When there was more uncertainty, mixed into the pie, and individuals were looking for more, safe assets. So in 2025 as well, we did see the Nairobi Securities Exchange release a directive that allowed single units of any stock on the Nairobi Securities Exchange to be traded. Previously, the minimum lot say for Safaricom, or for, in this case, for the new gold ETF, was 100 shares. Now, at 100 shares per unit, 100 shares depicting the price of 1 ounce of gold, it was out of reach for most individuals, as you can imagine. Last year, the price teetering around the $2,800 all the way to $4,000 price per ounce. And so with that directive, it's made it much more accessible to retailers, because the price, you're now buying a hundredth of an ounce, essentially, so 0.28 grams, which is now, as of today, sitting around 6,100 Kenya shillings, as compared to the entire ounce, which would have been 610,000. Kenya shillings. So indeed, there has been a massive uptick. 2024, about 19,000 units in totality. In 2025, that grew to over 250,000 units. This year alone, we have seen a decent activity in Q1 with more than 180,000 units already traded. We've seen some institutional, a good mix between institutional and retail investment. So the demand has grown indeed. I think there's more insights into what gold is. There's been a lot of noise in the market, talking about gold, talking about silver, and other commodity hedges for this sort of volatility that we're experiencing geopolitically, and also when you look at the fiscal policies that have been pushed around the world.
We are lucky to have the new gold ETF, of course, Absa being a sponsor of that issuance of the exchange-traded fund here. I would like to know, as we see interest towards commodities from a market that is very much bonds and equities, what's the room to bring, the other assets? We've spoken about gold, and at least, this is something you can tell someone, it's actually listed on the NSE, you can go and purchase it. How soon do we start seeing the silvers, maybe the oils? How soon would that happen?
Post listing the new gold ETF, we did list another one last year. This is the Satrix MSCI ETF. In this case, we're tracking an index, the Morgan Stanley Composite Index, and it tracks the global performance of about 10,000 various stocks in various sectors, but the top performing stocks. So if you were looking for exposure behind stocks like Tesla, Meta, Alphabet, etc., this would be the ETF to take on. In terms of new players, last year we did have a deep dive into ETFs at the NSE. In conjunction with the NSE and the CMA. And we did see one other player coming in the agri sector, hopefully going to launch later on this year. There have been talks within our company for launching other ETFs within the market. As you know, down in South Africa, where we launched the New Gold ETF back in 2004, we also have a palladium and a platinum-based ETF. So there is talk about seeing what sort of room there is to bring in these ETFs into market, particularly the silver ETF as well.
A lot of the price increases happened through 2025, but we are still seeing volatility remains, or the drivers of that demand for commodities happening. The question here becomes, is it still an opportunity to get into the asset class? Because someone might feel, oh, silver went up from $30 to over $100 in a year. Maybe that ship has sailed. We are talking of gold, and what we see is global analysts talking of $5,000 an ounce being the norm now. You're talking to almost $700,000 an ounce being the normal. Mm-hmm. Do you still look at commodities, and more so gold and silver, as still something viable as an investment option, and ignoring what has happened over the past year?
That's an excellent question. Actually, moving into 2026, the global demand for commodities had lulled. I'd say it was more around a moderate uptick in terms of direction, moderate to declining. However, since late last year, with the introduction of tariffs, and more recently, what I like to call the Middle East meltdown, or the geopolitical scene around the Middle East, has brought in new factors that we have to consider, and has actually changed the trajectory of most commodities. So what we're seeing now, due to a specifically inflationary act of the price of oil surging, and the geopolitical scene creating, supply chain disruptions, we have now begun to see a spike in terms of commodity asset prices. Yeah. So if you look at the Baltic Dry Index, which follows the price of commodities, tracks the price of commodities globally, it is now on an upward trend. So from tin to copper, silver, gold, wood, oil, we are seeing price surges there. Yeah. I think it'll be more related to industrial chemicals, precious metals, and other inputs that are required for manufacturing industry that are not locally available. This will affect us on all will affect individual players on all stages in the globe. I'm talking about locally and internationally, because as it is right now, most items are imported in bulk, etc. And due to these disruptions and the inflationary price of the surge in oil prices, then we will begin to see a rise in the price of commodities. Now, to answer your question about whether the ship has sailed or not, man, I can tell you, I've been hearing that story since 2019. I've been beating the drum, and every time I approach a lot of local investors, the resultant or resounding comment here is that the ship has sailed. This ship has sailed. This ship has sailed.
Yeah.
However, fundamentally, I think everything remains sound. There's a good case for precious metals. I believe that last year we did see a very massive surge in prices that may tend to drive investors to take a more cautious approach towards investing in commodities, especially gold and silver. However, I do believe that, in my opinion, there is still some room for gold prices and silver prices to rise. I don't think the ship has sailed, not by a bit. This is just the beginning, or the onset of what we're seeing, the conflict, the escalation in the Middle East. And as long as that is in play, I don't think that there is room for the prices to come down as such, because the main play by central banks and investors would be to go risk off, and get into safe haven assets such as U.S. treasury bonds and the precious metals. So still room to play. I think this year alone should be an indicator. Within the first 3 weeks of January, we did see silver prices rise by more than 20%. We saw gold prices hit up to 17% before we saw that liquidity event in the market where prices sharply corrected. However, since then, only about 2 or 3 weeks ago, prices have stabilized. And I think we're beginning to get a bit of consolidation at current levels. For silver, I'd say around the 80 to 85 level, we've seen consolidation there, which points to higher prices. I think as of today morning, it was around $88 per ounce. And for gold, we did see a massive drop from heights of $5,500 per ounce, all the way down to about $4,800, which was expected due to this liquidity scenario. Yeah? There was quite a bit of leveraged buying into the into these commodities, and as such, margin calls came into play, and people had to adjust the margins. Prices dropped, but right now I believe that we're consolidating at current levels. We haven't priced in yet the true effect of what's happening in the Middle East. I think we have seen slight movement, but I think we've just begun. Yeah.
Let's bring it a bit back down to more basic level of what actually an investor is buying once you invest in gold, either through, we can say, in our case in Kenya, the new APSA, the new gold ETF. We can move on and look at other channels through which you can access commodities. So someone might want to know, what exactly am I buying? You know, when we talk of me buying gold, is it actually that I can walk today into your offices and say, hey, Tito, I bought a few eighths of an ounce of a hundred of a gram of gold. Now, give me my gold.
It's, indeed.
How exactly should one think of investing in commodities? Because you exactly don't hold that gold in essence, but there's a gold back into that instrument. If you'd simplify it as for us, how would you do it?
Okay, well, an ETF is generally a stock that you trade on the Nairobi Securities Exchange. The only difference with other traditional stocks is that the underlying asset, in this case, is physical gold bullion. This is gold that we actually hold in our vaults. We have about 36 tons of it. Now, the gold is purchased from the market, refined, and then stored. Of every security that we create, we sell gold to create the security. And for every security that we buy back, we buy more gold. So that the net asset value of the fund remains the same. There's no tradability behind the gold either. So, you know, those risks will never appear there, where you have purchased a certain amount of gold, but we cannot deliver.
Someone might wonder, is there a certain gold apportioned to me as Kefa, as the investor?
I just lost my trail of thought there, but yeah, indeed.
Okay.
So, yes, you are actually getting direct exposure to the price of gold. The ETF moves one-to-one to the price of gold. Well, it tracks the price of the global price of gold. There is a management fee that is already embedded in the bid-offer spread. On a daily basis, as a market maker for the ETF, or rather the broker acting on behalf of the market maker, we are tasked with providing a daily two-way quote. So that's the buying price and selling price. You'll see a difference of about 100 shillings, which sometimes contracts or widens depending on the sort of volatility we're seeing in the market. So right now the spread is quite high at 100 shillings, but usually tightens down to about 50 shillings from the bid and offer price. So the ETF just caters for that. Anybody who wants a direct exposure to gold without having to go through the hassle of securing it, insuring it,
shipping
it, you know, is not something you put under your mattress,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
And they also say the only gold you own is the gold in your safe. Now with the ETF, you're given a regulated instrument that gives you direct access to the commodity, and with a 6-year track record and current the current sort of the way we are seen in the market in terms of our ability to have to feature among the top 10 stocks on a daily basis in terms of turnover means that there is quite a bit of buy-in into the ETF. So I'd definitely say that for anybody who's looking for direct exposure into gold, this is the safest way in Kenya right now for you to get access. Remember, in Kenya you're not allowed to hold gold without a license, physical gold. Mm-hmm. And so this just gives you an easy way to access gold.
So we've spoken much in depth around the new gold ETF, and you know, some investors who have quite the exposure of financial instrument might have seen other forms of getting exposure, be it index funds, maybe index funds that also incorporate gold. Mm-hmm. There are also these contract for differences. Would there be is there a best way to invest through, you know, invest in gold? Again, noting that, yes, you're not buying the physical gold itself to be delivered in your house and keeping it safe.
Correct.
But you're being offered these many instruments. And of course, for someone wondering what CFDs are, you know, this is basically a contract where any movement in that price means, you know, you're either gaining from it or taking a loss from it. Yeah. If we are to talk CFDs, ETFs functions very much as a stock, as you did say. So between the various methods you can get exposure into gold, is there a favored way to be like, this is a safer option, for, especially for when you're talking to a retail investor in this
Correct.
Case?
I guess the ETF question or proposition came about because of the sort of risks we had seen in the gold industry. So some of the ways that you can get access to gold is buying mining stocks. These are the companies that mine the actual gold, or purchasing gold through various brokers who offer physical delivery, such as Gold Silver or Fitch Gold. These are on global scales. And then the ETFs. Now, I'd say compared to mining stocks, the advantage of ETFs is that despite any price action behind the mining stock as in the company, because, you know, companies are affected by various things, you know. So say, for example, there is some sort of governance lapse within the company or some scandal, for example, the price of the mining stock may come down. However, the price of gold is still sitting up. I'll give you an example of the Marikana incident in South Africa where some miners went on protest, were shot, the price of the stock tumbled, but the price of gold was still way up there. So that's one way. Now, for physical gold, you'll obviously have higher costs because there has to be the delivery and then the storage and securing, ensuring as well. So the ETF turns out to be actually one of the best ways, you know, transparability. So it's very transparent. It's highly tradable, very liquid, and gives you direct view into that. I'd say CFDs are more for short-term trading, heavily leveraged. A lot of risk priced into that because it's more about day trading and watching the volatility in the market. But trading into ETFs is much safer. You know, this is for mid to long-term investors with a view on, or rather keeping in mind that, that gold and silver, for example, are non-yielding. However, based on the volatility, give decent returns on the capital gains. Yeah.
So before winding up, Mr. Tito, have a specific question on the gold ETF itself, the listing here in the Nairobi Securities Exchange. We've, of course, tracked the price, and you can go back and track it till its listing in 2017 all through to this date, you know, in March. Very much in March 2026 you can basically show the trend. What we've noticed with the supply is that it's... Maybe we might need to update the data we have, but it's around 400,000 units or shares there. And I think previously I've spoken to you on email and you've said that actually supply is never fixed because you can make a new request for those units. So we see what's sitting there in the pile traded, and of course we've seen that reflected in the price. But we always wonder how come supply still sits at 400,000 units. If you could offer some context.
So... we hold our units at the central depository. Now, there's obviously a cost for holding those right there. So based on the demand, we can always increase our holdings within 3 to 5 working days. So as of today, for example, we had about 180,000 units in our custody. Say, for example, a client comes in today and wants to buy 1 million units. So what we'd do is we'd sell them at today's price. We'd lock in a price for today, sell what we have, make the request for the extra units and some more for the market to trade, which will be in within 3 to 5 days. The advantage of the ETF is that you're guaranteed liquidity. This means if you buy the stock today, you want to exit tomorrow, you definitely have a buying price. And if you want to sell also, same thing. You'll always have us sitting there to buy back from you, and within the within that spread that I had mentioned earlier. So liquidity is guaranteed 100%. And you know, with 36 tons of gold sitting there, we have quite a bit to go. Last year we did trade almost about $1 billion Kenya shillings worth of it, and we are quickly heading towards that number already this year. So liquidity is guaranteed. To answer your question, I don't think there'll ever be that issue as long as we have that
physical storage of the commodity here. So finally, it's a look into the future, and rather the remainder of 2026. You've said as long as we are seeing the geopolitical tensions, be it tariffs, whether tariffs come back, you know, the US tariffs come back, or whether it's the tension in the Middle East cool down or maybe aggravate further. We also have other pockets of geopolitical tensions across the world. You did say that that then always makes the case for commodities. Yeah. So looking into the remainder of 2026, is it more of, you know, the same remaining the status quo here?
Yeah. So I'd say first of all, we need to understand the pricing theory behind gold, or rather the gold ETF. So the gold ETF is a product of the physical price of gold globally multiplied by the Kenya USD exchange rate. As you know, gold is priced globally in USD, and you're buying it here in Kenya in Kenya shillings. Yeah. So you have a hedge opportunity here. Assuming the price, the Kenya shilling slips to the dollar, and the price of gold remains stagnant, you'll still make money because you know, you'll be paying more shillings, essentially, for the same amount of gold. So that's one. Number two, I did say that the geopolitical scene is just driving that factor, you know. Yep. And right now, with interest rates still being cut, we do see further need for gold as a diversification instrument in your portfolios. Going into the rest of the year, indeed, depending on what sort of action we see behind the geopolitical scene, the glut, or rather the supply chain disruption, we do tend to see that the prices should continue moving in the upward direction. So I still think it's a good bet for any investor looking to bolster their portfolios with a real asset. You know, gold is real money, you know, compared to fiat, you know. And so I'd say, indeed, there's still a lot more time for you to buy. Obviously, everybody should be cautious, be aware of the risks that are involved in buying gold and silver. It is they are exposed to sometimes significant volatility and price swings. Yeah. So with any cautious approach into buying the commodity and with a mid to long term view, I think you'll be safe.
So Tito Namu, right there, senior equities trader or dealer rather at Absa Securities Limited, and we thank you for gracing our podcast.
You're most welcome.
And telling us more about gold. And I do hope back wherever you are, you see this as a golden opportunity. Of course, the pun there intended, right there. This has been another episode of Make Money, the podcast by The Business Daily. My name is Kefa Muirore, and as always, to close it off, until I catch you on the next episode of the podcast, remember to make your money work for you. Goodbye. I'm not going to do that.